Okay. So we begin. You cannot solve a problem on the level of the problem. Whenever we've spoken of this old adage before, everyone sort of nodded wisely and agreed. So the question is, if you agree with this saying, what does it mean? You cannot solve a problem on the level of the problem. Whenever we said it before, nobody ever questioned it. Everybody just said, yeah. What does it mean?
So I think it means that as long as I am focusing on the problem and dealing with the problem in any way, my focus is, my life is still around the problem and trying to cause and effect that I think resolves it. But I'm just keeping the constituents of problemming involved.
Okay. But then, what do you do? If you broke a leg, what do? You just don't set the leg, you don't do anything?
That's a good question. Well, let's see here. I guess then, since you've asked that question, it gets me thinking maybe the thing I need to clarify is when we say, and this is to myself in any situation, when I talk about dealing with the problem on the level of the problem, maybe I ought to ask myself what problem it is I'm looking at. If it is a broken leg, or if I'm bleeding or something, I think I'll deal with that directly in maybe a cause and effect way. But the question is, what does that say about how I'm living my life? That, I don't think I'll try to deal with on the level of the problem.
If you got a car problem, you go to the mechanic, you deal with that same way?
Right.
So then you deal with problems directly at the level of the problem. So you don't agree with that thing?
Well, like I say, okay, then maybe I don't agree with that statement.
Well,
I think it has some merit how I'm living my life, though. Not necessarily how I'm dealing with the day-to-day, the maintenance of daily life.
Yeah, but Andrew, no matter what you're saying, you agree with the statement, and then everything you do seems to indicate that you don't even agree with what you agree with.
Okay, then I don't even agree with it. Okay.
Okay, then you don't agree with the statement, or if you do think the statement is, you don't believe your own words. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, yes, that's what I'm saying.
And the reason for that is because every time you have a problem, speaking, you look for the right problem, say speaking something, you look for the right words, or for a synonym, or for another way to speak of what you want to say. And if you got an illness, you go out and get it fixed. If your car breaks down, you take it to a mechanic. And if you got a leak in your house, you try to fix the leak. So tell me whenever you apply that statement and how you would apply that statement, you cannot solve a problem on the level of the problem.
I can't think of one right now.
But everybody also nods and then they go about doing their life, and that's the struggle that I have with a lot of these things going on is everybody sort of, I didn't see anything to disagree with, but you go out and go right back to living life as usual, so hell, you don't agree with that at all. The only way to solve a problem is to get on the level of the problem and deal with it.
Well, it is interesting, in the conversation, some conversations I've had with you before, you've impressed upon me that I'm not focusing enough on the problem itself, and that was dealing with just like maintenance of life stuff.
But even so, you could, even if you, the thing says you can't solve the problem at the level of the problem, didn't say you don't look at the problem.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So, how about your life? Are you living as you truly desire? Or are you trying to discover what you truly desire?
No, I think I'm trying to discover how to live what I truly desire.
What do you truly desire?
Let's say simply just how to live as I truly desire.
What is that? If you say how to live as I truly desire, if you don't know what living as your true as you truly desire is all about, how would you know how to go about and fix it? I mean, if your car is leaking oil, you don't look at the radiator.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well,
but if I want to have a certain situation or what dare I say, outcome in my life, are you suggesting that I don't need to deal with? Well, I don't know what we're saying at this point.
Well, I'm not saying anything yet. I'm just, there's an old saying, we've said it dozens of times, and everybody agrees. And yet, nobody does anything except go solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that mean we're wasting our breath with that statement? Or else we're trying to relieve the pressure or the symptoms or something, but we're not dealing with the problem. What's going on here?
Good question. I hadn't thought about dealing with the symptoms without dealing with the problem. That's interesting.
Well, isn't that what most healing is all about?
Yes.
No.
I would agree. That's in fact probably what most of my effort to address the maintenance of life issues is about, is dealing with the symptoms.
So what? Even if you do that, my question is, aren't you going to lose?
Am I going to lose?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, yeah, the problem is, if there is a problem raging on, you know, around or below or within the symptoms, that I just keep treating the symptoms, then yeah, that's a never-ending process, sure.
No, the question that I have posed many times before is, do you have any vague idea what you should do to live eternally? So when I said you lose, no matter what symptoms that you heal, fix, repair, soothe, whatever, in the long run, you can't repair the body to itself live eternally, but that's what you want. That means that dealing with the symptoms of the body, you're going to lose. For the simple reason is your body or your car can't continue eternally. So the question is, if there is a you that can live, if there is no you that can live eternally, then dealing with the symptoms is a wise thing to do. But if you think there is, what?
I just said okay, that follows.
But if you think that there is a you that can live eternally regardless of the body, what do you do to live eternally? Wait until the end and then say, oh shoot, I was fiddling with the wrong stuff.
That's a good question.
In other words,
I never thought of it in that way.
But that was the point of the site, to get people to be thinking about that if you want to live as an eternal being, or even now, or if you want to live beyond the extent of the body problems or whatever, let's get it out there and see what continues. The question is, like what I put up on the site, what if I don't continue but being self-declared and self-proclaimed and self-motivated, what if that continues? Then what? Maybe there is something about you that does continue, but getting it out there to look at it to say, is that what you want to continue? Might be an interesting exercise for the site. We said before that you are data and information. Well, then maybe I, as a self-directed, self-commissioned individual, maybe that's the data and information that continues. There's not a me that continues, but that data information continues.
Is that sufficient for you? Is that satisfying to you?
Well,
sounds like the qualities. Can I say something? It just sounds like the qualities that you've basically invested your life in expressing continue. And I'm just, is that what in that for you is exciting and desirable and that kind of thing?
Well, number one, you've got to assume that, or reasonably assume, I brought that to this lifetime. I didn't just start that in this lifetime.
True.
So I am living the data and information that I created for myself to pass on.
Right.
So okay. The question is then, wouldn't it be wise to then sort of get a picture of what it is maybe that you're doing and maybe what it is that you're passing on?
Yes, for sure.
Well, got any idea? I mean, the whole purpose of where we are still in all of this thing is eternal by reason, eternal by entanglement, eternal by emotion, all of these things. What is there that you could do today that would then be what you'd be willing to pass on?
So it sounds like it would be, what I'd be passing on would not be any particular thing I do, but a way I do my life.
Well, it isn't. Okay, fine. Let's assume that's the case. But what does that mean? That's kind of like, are you dealing with the problem at the level of the problem, or what's going on here?
Okay, to me, that sounds more like, I would address, broken legs or leaky oil and things like that. I say in my life, but looking at what I'm passing on to and through my eternal self, I would say that's not dealing on the level of the problem. I don't know what you call that. That's dealing on the level of myself.
Sure, but the point of it is, you don't stop dealing with problems day by day on the level of the problem. You got nothing left over.
You're right, and to keep the life going, I think I cannot neglect those things, but can I add to what I'm doing such that I'm not only dealing with the problem on the level of the problem?
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but then why don't you then deal primarily with, let's say, the self and life you want to pass on, and the little things like the oil or paying the bills, etc., become lesser things rather than the reverse of it, like you said.
Okay, so you're saying deal primarily with those things I want to pass on. So then I guess be constantly looking at my life focus would not be the things that I have to do, like on my to-do list. It would be the words, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, actions I'm putting into my life every moment and the focus of those is the things on my to-do list.
Well, fine. That's fine. The question is, you don't know what any of that is. There's a bunch of words you just strung together.
And I do feel like I know what a thought is, an emotion is, and an action is. Yeah.
You don't know the nature of those things or the commonality of those things in your life. You could just say, I'm thinking, I'm believing, etc. But what is the pattern of that we would say, this is what you keep doing. This is your eternal self that you're living and passing on. Is that what you want?
Right. So can I ask a question? Can I say, is the pattern the same as the context of those things?
Well, essentially, but the context in that regard could be prior set, whereas a pattern could just be by default.
Okay.
And so what we're looking at here is, yeah, you're going to pass something on, but are you willing to just live another default existence or continue living by default because you won't take the time and effort or haven't taken the time and effort to see what that context is that you're creating? And is that what you want to carry on?
Hmm. Okay. So the difference between, so if the pattern can be by default, what in my life might that pattern be?
Trying to be right, trying to find out what is the right, proper, good, better, best thing to do. We could go on and on ad infinitum. Is that what you want to keep doing for eternally?
And not particularly interested in that.
Well, that seems to be the default pattern that's going on here.
Okay.
One of them.
All right. Okay, so I guess I would look.
What is your life all about? I mean, really, you can tell me what it is. You can say, oh, I'm second coming. But relative to what you're doing, that's what your life is about. And what you're doing, if you're not doing the things you declare, then that's a default, what your language is about, by default. Well, I'm trying to find that out.
Right, I mean, I heard what you said. I think I don't know quite what, when you say what my life is about, if it's not what I say I want or what I've declared, then I don't know.
But that was the kind of reason for the site. Help! Why don't you ask anybody on the phone for help? See what they've got to say.
Sally would like the question clarified.
I don't know what you're asking him.
What's your life all about?
Right.
And if you know what it's all about, is what it's about something you want to continue? Everybody wants to continue. Oh, I want to continue. I don't want to die. I don't want to end. I want to continue. Well, you going to continue the same old crap? Yeah. Do you want to? No.
I think usually the answer is we don't want the same crap to continue.
Well, let's assume you don't want the same crap. You're then telling me that, oh boy, when you die, then everything will be copacetic. Everything will be good. You'll go to heaven and everything will be wonderful and blissful and joyful and happy and pleasurable. Is that what you want?
I think that's what most people want, yeah.
I don't think most people want that at all.
Why not?
They have an alternative. They don't know what else.
Yeah, they don't want that. They wouldn't want that if they experienced it, if I could give them that experience for a short period of time. They wouldn't want that.
What, they want anger and...
No, but they want variety, they want other things. They don't want bliss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a good point.
And what would be the nature of that? You can't do anything you want. You got to be blissful. This is Monday night and blissful only. You want to continue, but you want to continue as you, being able to be and live as you truly desire. Yet it seems you're right. Maybe you're throwing all that away.
By not living as I truly desire?
Let's assume that that's the case. I mean, let's get a running start here. Maybe you need to... What does it take to live eternally? Maybe it means that you begin living now as you would be willing to live eternally.
Oh, I see. Okay.
What's your life about? Do you have a purpose? Is there a God? What's the meaning of life?
Questions.
Well, I mean, those are the questions, and the point of it is, even answering those questions, are you not dealing with those questions on the level of the question?
Yeah.
Well, then the adage says you can't solve any of those things by answering the questions. Now what?
Well, actually, then now I do feel stuck, because I thought the questions were the thing to deal with that would...
No, you answer the questions directly. That's the same as dealing with a pain directly.
I hadn't thought of that. Okay. Huh.
How can you deal with those questions or without dealing with those questions or make those questions irrelevant? Or something. Do something with it. How can you make your pains and problems in your body non-issues? Well, isn't it painful not to know the answer to any of those questions? So, what do you do? Anything?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Nothing? You just keep on doing the same old shit and you keep living by default.
I think that's absolutely correct, but the merry-go-round of answering questions, you know, that we've got 15 minutes of breaking up my mind so that it doesn't even know which is up, and every time we go through this, I think that I haven't learned a goddamn thing in 17 years.
I don't care. Then the question is there something that you could do that, let's say, makes the questions non-issues or irrelevant or whatever?
Yeah, it's a good old-fashioned declaration and get on with living.
Declaration what?
Of who I am and how I came alive and the essence, that basic... me, like you described there about self-directed self-commission, and it builds from there. I got to have an image of that kind of stuff, of operating in my life, and I won't get that image unless I live that. I can't just sit around and paint pretty pictures in my mind. I have to live it.
Wait a minute.
Experience it.
Wait a minute. Yep. That's not necessarily true. Let's work that backwards. Let's suppose and things are going on in your life and crap occurs and etc. Now, supposing you take self-directed or self-occurring or commissioning yourself as a context and then look at everything that goes on. if you look at it in that context, don't you then have a picture of what self-directed is all about? You don't get the picture of self-directed first. You make the declaration, and then that, then when you're living that, then the event gives you a picture of self-directed.
Well, I think I'm pretty clear on the latter part of that, that as I see myself living self-directed, it changes the whole context of my life. Everything's different. Everything's different. And that I pause to consider what it might look like when I face a bump in the road or a difficulty. It doesn't even seem like a difficulty anymore. Yes, there's something needs to be tended to, but it doesn't seem to be a difficulty.
That's fine, but then that's my form of expression of eternal self. Maybe your eternal self has an entirely different expression.
Well, actually, since I read that and related that to samurai, and suddenly, all of a sudden, samurai made a hell of a lot more sense than it ever had before. And it's consistent as hell with so many other things in my life that I've either struggled against being self-directed and not wanting to be responsible for that, and then, or struggling with people and events getting in the way of me being self-directed. Just so much of my life started making sense when I saw that seemed to have been an underlying pattern or underlying tone of my existence. And then what I do for a living even changes its whole sense for me. Even how I have my relationship with my wife and my friends, it all of a sudden lives really sense of being very different. And I begin to see issues like my number one item on the thing I'm proud of, I originally had written it as I'm proud of being able to simplify matters for other people. Well, I think what that comes around to is that what I've been taking as simplifying for other people is that I direct myself towards showing people to their own self-directedness, that helping them see what it is that they truly want and desire in life. That seems to be coming together for me as a way that I'm comfortable with.
So, what you're saying is that you take that as a declaration, and then in living that, or being able to see how you're living that in everything you do, everything changes.
Oh, it's just more than I could possibly have understood before. I just had no even the slightest inkling of how much it would change.
So, we could say you could take anything as a declared self and live it, whatever it is, and in living it, you are that.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So then there is nothing you are supposed to, let's suppose for a minute, then that maybe there is not anything that you are supposed to live. You have the right to, and the universe will support you in anything you truly desire to live, and in living that, that's who you are.
I couldn't have said it better. Yes, that's exactly true.
And it changes everything, because with that image, then you could say you have a context for understanding everything in your life even before it occurs. Or you have a context even of knowing, let's say, how to act or react.
Well, yeah, and the act or react, it almost blends together. It doesn't seem like reaction anymore. Even it seems it's real easy that when a circumstance occurs, whatever the hell it is, stumble in the dark or whatever, it's a nanosecond of consideration, if that, and I move, I act. It's really, really tremendous. Even circumstances that would have just shoved it up my nose that I get so friggin' angry, it just doesn't do it. I don't do that anymore. I see what's going on. I know really clearly what I want to do next.
So then, this could be, to me, a communication that could go across the site.
Yes, and I've been, can I do a commercial here on the site for a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that I'm considering asking people if they'd be willing to set up a pseudonym page on Facebook, whatever they are, whoever they're Andrew Lawrence and it's Karen Whitehouse and so on and so forth. Could you give yourself a pseudonym that represents your eternal self and register that as a Facebook page? Because that will give us more freedom for each individual participant to build the image making, the dialogue that they want to engage with, so that Patrick does his page, Andrew does his page, Karen does her page, and we can all visit each other's page, but there is a continuity that we can see for each individual that's easier to follow than doing it in the group. So that's, I'm going to start doing one. Now, I tried to do Samurai, but Facebook says you got to have two names, and Sam Urai was already taken by five people.
You really kidding?
So I'm gonna come up with another name, but that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna create a pseudonym page with a name that represents my eternal self, and it'll be linked right into the eternal self page, but it'll be a place where our eternal friends can visit each other's page, where there will be a greater focus and a greater continuity, where people can build an image that they'd like to share with other people.
Okay, let me add to that somewhat. In one of the items, I gave you that stuff back, preparation for being aware of your eternal self. One of the items was there was write letters to your eternal self, so that you could do that on this other page.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you could, from the page, you could write letters back to yourself.
Yes.
So you could
and on and on. There are many things in that list of 44 items in the practicing and preparing that would be applicable. Many items.
Well, you could do something like self-directed samurai.
Yes.
In the sense of then making a declaration of who you are as an eternal being, a self-directed samurai. A self-directed samurai then could 100% be attached to a lord, because he hasn't given him. And this is their point of say doing that. That was the problem in the lifetime. Is you didn't want to be directed by a lord, but if you are already self-directed, then serving a lord doesn't affect your self-directedness, does it?
It does not. And it frees me to serve that Lord as I desire.
But like I've said before, you have to do what, in a sense, the Lord wants, but the way and the manner in which you do that is your choice, is it not?
It is, completely. And it's the way I do it that defines me.
That's right. It's not the thing that you do, it's the way or even the attitude or the emotions about what you do that are important to the samurai in that regard. The presumption, as far as the Lord's concerned, is that you do what he tells you to do.
Absolutely. And I think that flows into what you were talking about earlier, about what do you want to be, that will survive this physical existence. What is it that you want to be there eternally? And then serving samurai as he orders, but in my way, I really like the my way to survive.
Then are you not at every moment then creating yourself as a self-directed samurai?
Yes, isn't that just, it seems so simple but so powerful.
And it fleshes you out. Instead of continuing Pat, Mr. Political Consultant, self-directed samurai, and you see that and know that in everything you are doing.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So that's the data and information then that you pass on, that you carry on with yourself. Not Patrick per se.
No. No, you're absolutely correct. It's the manner and in the way in which I do it that is passed on.
But it's, we're just saying, now, okay.
Yep.
We're going to get into this later, but I want to get into it now a little bit. You understand that in what you edited, wrote, and what you edited, etc. And what you guys have been reading, that I've been writing for quite some time now.
Wait, Ron, back up one. Who wrote what and edited what? Pat wrote something?
No, I wrote those 40 some odd things that you can do to prepare you.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he typed it, and he sent it to me, and I edited it and sent it back to him. Now, what I want to talk about is, I want to talk about the punctuation.
Right.
You remember, I've said this several times, but in 1947, my English teacher, which, by the way, was Mrs. Gillespie, and just before she died back in 98, I found out she was still alive, and I wrote her and contacted her and thanked her and all of that kind of stuff. But anyway, Mrs. Gillespie said, Roger, I think I've got you figured out. You want to write a whole theme in one sentence. And I said, yeah, you're right. Now, if you understand that, could you understand that I could write you 130 pages without ever a period? Do you understand?
I understand that.
What else do you understand? If I describe you, self-directed samurai, and I never, for 120 pages, and I never use a period, what then image does that bring up?
It's eternalness.
You see? Because periods are stops, endings, like that which begins must end. That isn't true, but that's an old adage we've been carrying on for 2,000 years in language, that what begins must end in that regard. And the way we have punctuated our language and set it up as sentences, it's beginnings and endings and more beginnings and more endings.
Okay, I got a question for you here. My understanding of the word recurring is that it stops and recurs again.
No. Nobody says that it ever stopped. Recurring does not necessarily, and I've that what I have used as a an example of reoccurring is saying something like somebody complaining about that reoccurring noise at the party in the apartment overhead. There's not necessarily any stop in that. It just grows louder and lesser or more so and etc. Just reoccurring. There's no starting and stopping in that.
Okay, question for you. What's the difference then between that and...
Between what?
That recurring as you have just described it and continuing. What is the difference?
Well, let me ask you this question. What is the difference between these two phrases, ever changing or ever beginning again?
I guess ever changing seems to indicate the same thing, changing and presenting in different ways. Beginning, ever beginning again seems to indicate a continual or continuous beginning, new thing.
Ever beginning again does not have a stop.
Right. Change does, because you change from this to that. So there's a beginning and of this thing. So the change occurs, so there's something that begins and
and then it ends and you change it.
Right.
So that in ever changing universe, in fact, in that regard, is an ever stop and start over again. But an ever begin again universe is constantly going on, and I never have to stop and change anything. I just begin again. Is that okay? So we could say reoccurring could be ever changing, or reoccurring could be ever begin again. But ever begin again does not mean that the same thing continues, simply because every moment supplants the preceding moment.
Then you have to go... You don't have to go back and try to make something different. And that's what change is going, is a look back, something's different now, something's different now.
Now you have to struggle against
right.
what was in order to create yeah. something different.
Right.
Whereas ever beginning again is merely beginning again, living as you truly desire.
Right. Yep.
We okay with this?
Yep. Hey, Roger, one of the practices in that 44-point thing is adding to yourself rather than trying to change yourself.
That's right. That's what ever begin again is, an addition to yourself, not a correction or stopping and starting.
So that takes care of the word, the idea of grow, develop, learn is kind of in the same of the same ilk as changing, which has a beginning and an end.
So then when I am writing a 120 page description of eternal being, or what did we say it was, self-directed samurai, in that regard, without any periods, there is no stop and restart. Everything is beginning again. Do you understand that,
right.
Patrick?
Yes.
So when I stopped, I used an exclamation. I stole an exclamation point and said, I have no use for exclamations. Everything I say as, or everything you say as a self-directed samurai is itself a declaration. Is that okay?
Wow, I hadn't got there yet, but yes, as soon as you said that,
Everything you say is a declaration. Now I use the exclamation point as a declaration point to then acknowledge this is a declaration. I only say those things which are declarations. I only do those things that are eternal declarations, and I am proud of it, and I announce it to the world. Is that okay?
Followed by a bunch of declaration points.
If I want to really, that I can put two in there, if I want to accent it, but it make, and then the declaration point in that regard is not a stop, it's a pause. This is a declaration. Think about it. Is this something you'd be willing to do or say or be a part of eternally, Mr. Self-Directed Samurai? And would it be something you would have others do unto you, Mr. Self-Directed Samurai?
The perfect pause.
So it's only a pause, and if so, then like every moment supplants the previous moment, but the previous moment sort of passes right through that declaration point, does it? And then it has dot, dot, dot. The three dots are a pause. This is my declaration. Pause. Start again.
Begin again.
Begin again. And I begin again with a lowercase after the three dots because there is a period and it's not a stop, so it doesn't start with a capital.
There is that consistency, Roger.
I mean, but do you understand the importance of this, so that what I am doing always when I write that, I am making sure that everything I say is a declaration that I want to say and what I want to reveal me. Is everything that you say in this regard that you'd be willing to be revealed as a self-directed samurai? If the answer is no, don't say it.
Wow.
And the three dots are used only as pauses, even in the front of a clause or something, to consider, well, wait a minute now, are you sure that what you're saying is what you want? Better pause and think about it. You don't stop. You don't put a comma there. Don't put a period there. Not a semicolon. I just want you to pause and move right along.
As an aside to the folks that are listening here, I should point out that when I typed up your stuff, I adulterated your punctuation a bit.
Yes, and, but that's okay.
Yes, but and this, he sent back the edited copy showing precisely what he's just finished talking about.
But when you get it all edited out and done, and you start reading it, and start understanding what's going on here, you begin to realize that what I'm offering you in the reading are pauses. Think about it. And then this is a declaration of me and a revelation, meaning it reveals me and etc. what I'm saying. Think about it.
So does that mean if you use a, Roger?
What?
If you use a period, it's not a, if you use a period, then it's not a declaration?
If you use a period, it's just the end of a statement. It's not, it could be a declaration, but there is no ending. When have you ever quit your life since you've been born? And when is it that you want to quit? The point is never an issue of quitting or stopping. It is ever beginning again is what you and your eternal self is all about.
So your style of punctuation emulates life as it is more than the norm.
Not only that, but it emulates the self you want to be, an eternal self.
Uh-huh.
You know, that gives me reason to think of something as a side issue. The new generation's coming up very focused on and oriented to texting, which is, what, 140 characters?
It's insane.
It's really important. Yeah. It totally violates what we're talking about here.
It's not a matter of violates. It is matter is... I'm convinced they're going to have some "what the fuck is my life all about" coming up here.
In 140 characters, please.
In 140 characters, please.
But they don't use punctuation in texting. Maybe that's good that people don't punctuate.
Well, that doesn't matter. The punctuation is implied. Now,
plus, I mean, I think a lot of things you write, at certain declarations you want to write on as long as need be.
That's right.
Otherwise, it's not a correct declaration.
That's right. So I get to pause and then add to my declaration, and along the ways I can pause or structure the language of what I am writing in such a way that then when I am thinking the same way, and when I'm doing the same way.
Oh, that's interesting. Right. That would be helpful.
But you jump to conclusions and then put a period. You think the conclusion to what you say is, well, that's the end of that. Hell no, that should be just the beginning of that. You should jump to beginnings, not to conclusions.
Hmm.
Is this all right for you, Patrick? I mean, do you understand?
Yes. And I share with Andrew the large measure of jumping to conclusions.
That's right. And so there essentially are no real conclusions. That's a continued declaration, not a conclusion per se. And I can do that. It's not a conclusion. It's a continued declaration of me.
Hey, Roger, I have a question. I don't know if it's a good question or not, though, but it is, does this kind of writing or even this kind of living and thinking more, what, possible when you've decided what your life is about, as opposed to most of our, reacting or trial and error? Or can you do it regardless of how you're living?
I think it can all work together, that the minute you really understand the punctuation, that changes how you perceive what you're doing and what you're passing on. When you really understand it,
Wow! I think I see what you're saying then.
So then you get a. For instance, remember I said, give me 8 things that you are proud of. Is it possible for me to say, write 130 pages in which everything you say is what you are proud of? It's that much of a declaration or proclamation of you.
Okay.
And once you do that and begin to understand that, then everything you think in that way and everything you say openly or to yourself in that way gives you pause constantly along the way to consider. Of course, you got to get your thinking a little bit out of mouth speed, but anyway, it gives you a pause to consider along the way. Is this what you want to continue? Isn't that what life is really all about? But what you're doing is judging. In other words, they're essentially, if I write it correctly, there is no judging because there is no conclusion or consequence per se, because what is a consequence just passes on into begin again.
And Roger, isn't this style of writing also a vehicle for training yourself to live and be eternal?
Of course. I mean, you play the start and stop game in everything you say and everything you write and think and all of that. Then isn't that start stop in that regard the nature of your eternal self doing it over and over and over again?
Yeah.
And the point is, you can take any sentence out and throw it away. It's a meaningless sentence. You don't have, with periods and sentences, beginnings, it doesn't really matter what the hell you say. It's removable. In the same way as if you insert clauses in a sentence between commas, an inserted clause is non-essential, and you can take it and throw it away. But if you don't enclose it in commas, but you use pauses in that regard, then what was a throwaway sentence becomes an essential part of what you're doing. Everything becomes essential.
Yeah, it just revolutionizes communication as well.
But couldn't you imagine a politician speaking this way? So, I'm not interested in what politicians are going to do. I'm interested in, and this was the point of, when I'm self-directed, everything I do in that regard is a declaration of me. It's and it's a proclamation and a revelation of me. You look at, and that's why I put pictures up on the thing, to get the thing... fancied up a bit. Well, once I put up some of these pictures, why do you all comment about, gee, I never thought about that. Where did you get a different image of me all of a sudden?
Because you imaged, you just used pictures to describe.
And in the same way, by making everything I say a declaration in that way, I am pointing you to, this is a descriptive image of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll show you that on I think my next thing that I put up, I'll indicate that I will write something in periods and then write it with pauses and declarations. And what happens in all of that is that when you write with periods, you have no image of who is doing what. This won't make any sense to you, but when I write in exclamations and say, you understand that in declarations, then that everything I say is declaring the person behind the scene.
Behind the which?
Behind the scene.
Oh, the scene, okay.
If I list all of your things you've ever done in your life, Patrick, and make a list of it, either with periods or with numbers or whatever, we get all through. And we could say, well, there's an unknown Patrick, or whatever he is, that did these things. The things themselves are actions that an unknown Patrick did. If I take those same things and write them continuous and use the declaration point, the pausing, and etc. In that way, everything I write describes Patrick.
Mm-hmm. I see what you mean, yes.
So, up to now, who am I? What's my life all about? Speak in periods and think in beginnings, and you'll never get an answer. Put these things up there and think in terms of an eternal self that just merely passes on, and with the declaration, the declaration point, you have decided that what you said, then a declaration point, is an aspect of yourself you want to pass on. You are just... You understand?
I think that's pretty damn neat, Roger. I've never known what your declaration points were.
Well, I know. Everybody reads it and nobody knows what the hell's going on. Mm-hmm. And anyway, and part of it, you know, it's been added to, I go back and read some stuff I did back in, let's say, 2002, 10 years ago, and oh, God, why did I use it that way? I was developing it, and now I've gotten to the point, even in the last year or so, I have to go back and edit some stuff, where I say that a passage cannot have a period in it.
Wow.
Because a passage, instead of a paragraph that ends in a period and then start a new paragraph, every passage is complete within itself and yet opens into the next passage. Actually, it's so complete within itself, it'll open into any passage. Everything is a begin again. Okay, well, anyway, that's number whatever the next one that comes up that I'm proud of is the language punctuation in that regard. And I won't explain it all because that's too much effort. Missy's trying to do starting on a video of that, and so maybe we'll get it all working out in that way. But the point of it is that, like you say, Patrick, once you get into understanding self-directed, everything in your life starts changing.
Well, it gives meaning to the system of punctuation that you've just described to us.
That's right, because languaging destroys us. The way we have punctuated our language takes a self-directed samurai and suicides him.
Yeah, I got one question. I guess one first a statement. I mean, it's interesting because I had really never thought about how language was shaping the way I'm living that way, so specifically. But my second question, what my actual question is, if recurring is begin again, then what difference does a period make? If I stop and begin again a new sentence?
Because do you understand that every moment supplants the preceding moment?
Yes, I think I do.
Do you understand that though it supplants, the preceding moment didn't end? It passes on and begins again.
That was not as much a part of my image as the begin again and the supplant.
Right,
point.
Because when you've thought of that, you think about starts and stops. But a continuous flow in this regard means then that you can create an image of just beginning again without ending or changing or having to make amends for anything. A period.
Okay.
You with me?
Sounds like also then you know. Yeah, it sounds like also then you don't what lose the stuff of the past. You just don't have to continue it actively.
That's right, and in fact is what I'm doing with the exclamation point is you are deciding at the very moment you're saying it, thinking it, or doing it, what it is at that very moment that you will pass on for yourself.
Right, exactly, because it's what you express in the next moment.
So that then what you are not not willing to pass on, don't say it as a declaration or a proclamation of you.
Right. You know, it sounds like you just created for the world a meditation of writing here.
It is.
Right.
And it keeps you actively aware of yourself in what you're saying and doing, and it is kind of like you disassociate from physical Andrew and begin living as eternal Anno in that regard.
I know. Let me side issue here for a second with you, because you know, I write letters to my eternal self. I have a question. Kind of, I like to use this in the writing, but would I, what do you think would be mobetta to write both sides, Andrew and Anno, in this passageway or the declaration and pass on points, or write maybe Andrew in the language of the world, and then Anno responding in this particular way?
I guess that's up to you.
I mean, I can see both having a different effect. But okay.
But you're making a mistake.
Which is?
If you, Andrew, write in the language of the world, are you not keeping yourself in that struggle?
Well, right. This is sort of what I thought, yeah. Except that one thing. I thought maybe it would help me integrating the day-to-day how I speak and interact with people in my job and in my relationships.
What? Then you need as much practice, and I would write both letters and their responses in and of the same way.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this has to be meaningful to you. This is meaningful to me, and it's meaningful to me in this way, and this is truly the attitude with which I write everything that I write. If that's not meaningful to you, then don't do that.
Right, I understand. No, it just seems like something interesting to try. Now, I got a question for you. Right after you just said don't do that, in your mind, was that a period or an exclamation point, or was that an
ellipse? It's a declaration point. Don't do that!
Okay. Yeah, I was talking, the car moved out of the driveway, sorry.
I'm willing to make everything I do be a direct declaration of me and who I am.
Okay.
We okay with this? This is what I've tried to express on the site and in all of this, that I have been living that way my life. And the problem always was the fact that the languaging or the way I had to write technical specifications and etc. Sort of got in the way of me and my life. And so it was only in about 1986 that I began developing this form of punctuation so I could then be expressing my, and I write letters today, I'll write letters to the IRS or to Medicare or whatever, and I use that punctuation, I don't care, nobody's complained, they must be able to read it okay.
Who's doing boop boop?
have no idea.
It's my computer. Someone's calling. I don't know how to stop it. It'll stop in a minute.
Okay. Are you beginning to understand from what we said before that your language with periods is alternatives, and that you're living and speaking in declarations is options?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
What you're then doing when you're doing that is you are affirming you're living by options, not by alternatives, when you do this. When you keep all these, you don't have to think about them all the time, but you are aware that what you're doing is options, not alternatives. Is that okay?
I don't think that's okay. I don't think I really get that yet.
Alternatives are different ways to a conclusion. Options are not. There is no real conclusion in what I am writing and in optioning, but then I put it all back together again. And when I go from one passage to another passage, they're complete in and of themselves, so that you could take every passage I ever wrote, or if I wrote about you as a declared self there, Patrick, take 130 pages of passages, cut them up, throw them up in the air, and no matter what I said before, it would still make sense.
Okay, I think I get it.
All right, let me ask you this question. Would you like it such that no matter what we said about Patrick from, say, 6 years old to 60, six to 60, no matter what we said in that and wrote it as passage, if we threw it up in the air, it made sense that there was no sequence from 6 to 60, that every step made sense?
Actually, that is highly attractive. That makes sense.
That's what the passages are all about. Every passage ends at a declaration point and begins again, so it's ever beginning again. And every passage is complete, so I could take your life. You think your life is sort of a sequence of events going on. Write out 100 events in the sequence of your life as passages, then cut them up separately and throw them up in the air, and your whole life becomes your whole life begins making sense.
I think in my first thought is that by doing that, I would break up the sequence, and then I would begin to see patterns.
That's right. The old saying is, if it happens once, it's an event. If it happens twice, well, maybe it's a coincidence, but if it happens three times or more, it's a pattern. And maybe then in taking that and throwing it all up, 6 to 60, you could begin taking it out of a preset sequence and see a pattern that would be, let's call it for the moment, a whole different self-directed samurai pattern that you missed because you were so busy sequencing things.
Oh yeah, that's pretty clear to me now. Yep.
Is that okay? I mean, is that all right? Wait a minute. Wait just a minute now. I just destroyed time. I put you in Nantes time. Because it makes... that you, your life would make Nantes time sense doing that. And your life only makes sense because you hold it in a sequence of time. And you limit yourself to that and miss seeing and understanding the tremendous information that is there in Nantes time. Take it out of the sequence. What if you're not living a sequence? What if you are in fact, when I say sequence, substitute the word time, time sequence. What if in fact you are living a pattern? What is the pattern of your life? Hello, anybody?
That's kind of astonishing when you put it that way.
But that's what I was trying to do by punctuating it this way, and I only put numbers at the beginning of passages so that we have a way of referring to passage number 71. Doesn't matter. I can cut it up and every... Isn't that weird? You throw it up and everything makes a different sense. And so what we've done in that is taken you out of the hazards and limitations of the sequence of time and put you into, it's like something I wrote the other day, that you are individual out of Nantes time. Think about that.
I am an individual out of Nantes time.
Yeah, it's like an alien from another world. You are...
Oh!
Is that okay?
Yeah!
Well, you are a self-directed samurai out of Nantes time. Is that okay?
That sure puts it. That's it. You know what? That even makes more sense about what recurring and eternal is about.
That's right.
Son of a gun.
Now, supposing you take your other lives that we know about and do the same with them as you have what we're doing here with samurai, self-directed samurai or self-directed judge, and etc., and throw these up. Aren't we beginning to see a picture that is of a pattern of you that is really, really you?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
So, you weren't a samurai and then struggled to do this and then struggled to be a judge in Rome and then struggled to do something in one sequence after another. I could throw those up in the air in this way, and as I pick them up, I see a real pattern or a real, real, real image of Patrick. My question...
Boy.
What?
I said, boy, oh boy.
So then you see, you have then in that then a tremendous image of yourself. Not, and when somebody says, who are you and what are you doing? Man, you've got a hell of an image to draw from, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, sit down. I got a story to tell
you. Have you got 130 hours? But that, but then when you do that, you're not just Patrick struggling with everyday details. You are an individual from nonce time, and you're beginning to see a direct picture and image of yourself, such that then everything in your life starts making sense.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you wait a minute, wait just a minute now. That means, if I've got this correctly in your mind, and that's what I'm trying to do, you are greater and different and other than just a self-directed samurai.
Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it?
Yes. And you see, we lose all of that because we get lost in our languaging, we get lost in starts and stops, we get lost in not making declarations, we get lost in everything. And so, wait just a minute now, hold on. We get lost in wanting to continue, and in that then we don't see who we are. Why would you ever, when you get through doing this for a while, would you understand that you want to continue as Patrick? No. Is that okay?
Oh, heck yeah. That there's something far bigger, more expansive than that.
That's right. Sure. Even more so. Well, wait a minute. I tried to discuss entanglements, which is a way in which you can add to yourself a passage of yourself that you didn't live. But it follows the pattern. That's who you are. It enables you to give you another view, an image of your being self-directed in that way. Is that okay?
That's it. That's all right. Mm-hmm.
That's what entanglement is all about. That allows you to... But then, once you get the information, if you treat it only as a sequence of past lives, you lose. Remember what I said in the readings originally, these lives are not in sequence. I was only trying to give you lives that at that time seemed to follow in a sequence because you think in sequences. Now I'm trying to get you to think in terms of passages as begin again, and an infinite number of begin again passages. Not a preset sequence. Are you still there, anybody?
Oh, heck yeah. That's an enormous thought. Enormous.
But let's assume
it would help me if Patrick, if you actually describe what your epiphany is, because I'm a little lost. I'm a lot lost, actually. Like I hear that you're getting it, but I would appreciate hearing your interpretation of what Roger's saying.
Well, this last bit, when I say it's enormous, is that in recent times, I've been developing an image of what being able to continue and having eternal recurring life actually means. And when taking it out of the sequence, because again, even the sequence is the same thing as a sentence that begins and ends. If take past lives out of a sequence,
and as Rogers illustrated, throw them up, cut them up, throw them up in the air, and they come down. Then it seems to me then all of that is me right now. And it's an enormous thought. It almost feels like, am I big enough to, well, I guess the term that comes to mind at the moment is hold it, but it's more likely of accept it as much as anything. It's such a big thought. But it's the piece that it seems to me, I'm reluctant to use the term simultaneous because I don't think it even comes near to it, but when it take it out of sequence and then the actual one before the other doesn't make any difference whatsoever, then it is all me and I have access to all of it right now.
Yeah, but I think she's asking you not a technical description, but what is the image you have or sense or feeling you have from all of this?
I feel almost like a delicate child lovingly supported in a universe that allows anything and everything that I want to live. It's a sense of being supported. Supported.
Let me change your sense. Let's assume that what Anne's asking you is, what sense of self do you have, not sense of the universe?
Oh, that is different. Well, the self-directedness becomes through as just enormously powerful, without, I don't need a without. It's the self-directedness is just so enormous, and the freedom that comes with that self-directedness is something I find very, very attractive and desirable.
It's very spacious. It sounds spacious.
I'm sorry that I'm not hearing that very well.
It sounds very spacious, very expanded.
Those terms would fit, yes.
So,
is everything in fact in non-time? Then there really isn't. Like even the words of what do you use, like the continuation? Those different words of that put things in a line. I mean, in fact, is it like none of that exists, that everything is in non-time, and
no, both
I like it's holographic, it's just not linear at all, ever?
No, both exist. You can default to linear and feel comfortable in that. We can say as well that like in non-time he means feels and remains expansive in all of that, but you could get overwhelmed. So both is going on. Life gives you life at the sequence of time, and gives you life at nonce time. In that regard, such that there is no sequence of doing. Patrick, can you understand, or maybe you do or don't, whatever, that in this sense of yourself, nothing you do matters. Yet, everything, the way you do everything, matters.
Oh, heck yeah.
So, the doing or the happening or the event in your life is not what you do. It's in this regard where we started, was the self-directedness of everything that you do.
Yeah.
And you're not doing self-directedness then in a sequence to learn, grow, and develop. You're doing this in a what? A pattern, we can say, in that regard. There's a pattern to your self-directedness, and we would call that pattern of your self-directedness Patrick. But at a later time, we might call that pattern of your self-directedness Mary Joan.
A dinger came on just when you said that. I didn't hear it, Roger.
In other words, allow me this and be very careful. I could say that pattern of directedness today would be Patrick, and in another lifetime, that pattern of self-directedness might be Mary Joan.
Oh, yes.
So there is not a Patrick that continues, yet that self-directedness way or pattern that is Patrick continues as Mary Joan. Is that okay?
I have a question here. That when you refer to yourself and your past lives, there is a coherence to it, and you always refer to that as you. Is that a figure of speech, or
if you always live the pattern of self-directed samurai, could you then not always refer that pattern to be you?
Yes.
Then if I always live as discovering how the world works for you and show that, then when I refer to myself as me or I or whatever, is that not a pronoun for that way of living self-directedly?
Yes, it is.
So I'm not saying then I or me or my or mine as an individual, but it is, or you might say, an individual way in which I live and express myself no matter who I am.
Yeah. I got a smile on my face when I heard that, and I said, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So then you continue, but you don't really continue, but you don't not continue either.
That's a good way to say it. Okay.
But it would be advisable then to begin living and learning and expressing the declaration of yourself as, let's call it, the self-directed samurai, and be that and see that in everything you're doing, so that that is what passes on.
Yeah.
And that's then, Patrick doesn't pass on, but the pattern that is Patrick as self-directed samurai, that passes on, and you may be Mary Jones in the next lifetime, but that's you.
Yeah, but that's the desirable him that he self-chose.
That's right. And he chooses that today, or otherwise you live by default and you pass everything on by memories, or you pass everything on by your declaration. Which would you choose?
Declaration.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll, unless there's somebody who wants to say something, we'll end there.
Great. So, Raj, were we doing tonight Eternal by one of the categories we talked about before, or is this kind of something different?
No, we were just doing that, and then next week we're going to start with Eternal by Emotions.
Okay, cool.
I got into language, and I've have to decide whether you can begin to see that eternal by language or eternal by punctuation, how critical that is.
I got the sense tonight, yeah. I mean, especially, yeah, since it's such an active focus, yes.
Yeah, well, I've decided whether to add it in eternal by or treat it as a whole separate thing. I'm going to do several things with that and try to explain the language and what it means, so that if you use the language that way, you begin to see you're expressing yourself in the way we're talking about. And if you write in passages, not in paragraphs, then you're expressing, really, really, really expressing yourself as an eternal being.
Right. Yeah, I think I've kind of found that just trying some of this stuff, just go try it, actually can lend a lot of insight and understanding.
That's the point. And that was trying to make the site a working site. Now, if we do what Patrick's talking about and everybody has their own private page, and or if you write letters to your eternal self, hey, that gives you practice on the site in your own page and ways to really experience that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we are. Thank you very much, Roger.
So let's not see any more periods on the Eternal Self book page.
Okay.
I'll do it that way.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Good night now.
Night now. Bye.